Essex County Sheriff Kevin Coppinger is joining us on the line. And Kevin, welcome. Good to be talking with you.
Same here, Bill. Thank you for the invite.
Kevin, we've talked a number of times over the last few years. Every time I talk to you, I think, man, you have a tough job. But it just went times 10, I think, in the last several weeks, hasn't it?
No, you're so right. This is a whole new experience. A couple weeks ago, I said I've never seen anything like this since the morning of 9/11, and we have far surpassed that just with trying to get a handle on this and make sure we take care of, the for us here at the jail, the safety as well as the health of not only our inmate staff, but also, our inmate population, but also our staff. It's a very difficult task, and it's a 24/7 operation as we speak. It's just really to a new level, unimaginable.
Exactly. And Kevin, what you would have to do here is you have the services that you deliver require that you can't change too much. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we have to come up with that delicate balance, as I said, of safety for all and providing the services that are needed for the inmate population, and taking preventive measures that society in general are now doing. I mean, we've all, know what the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, is. I think most people are familiar with that. Department of Public Health, we're listening to the governor on a daily basis, the president on a daily basis. There's more experts out there that are sending information on, good personal hygiene techniques, stay-at-home advisories, what I just like to say, good common sense. It's like, folks, pay attention to what the experts in their fields of knowledge are saying, because this is real. This isn't a movie. This isn't a fantasy. This is reality. It's spreading right now like wildfire. And as we all know, the next 10 days to 2 weeks, we're supposed to peak, and these numbers are just going off the scale in terms of confirmed cases and, horribly so, fatalities. And if we don't all pitch in and do the right thing here, we could lose control of this.
Kevin, Sheriff Coppinger, is there any specific information specific either to your facilities or other state county facilities that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'd love to, and I'm going to speak specific for Essex because obviously that's my focus. But I can honestly say that every day we have conference calls with all my fellow sheriffs here in Massachusetts, and we're all doing the same thing in each of our locations. But here in Essex, we've been working on this since February, when we first started hearing hints that this was coming, trying to follow the trends, worldwide trends, and hearing it come this way. So I'm glad we took the incentive then to get prepared. But just to summarize, because I can speak for like 3 hours, Bill, and you and I will be here longer than we should. But I'd like to highlight a couple of things that we have done. First and foremost, we had pretty much really restricted access to 2 hour facilities from everyone except our staff and our main vendors. When I say main vendors, I'm talking about our healthcare partners. As you might recall, we privatized our healthcare services to a company called WellPath, and they came in with doctors and nurses and physician's assistants, and they do a tremendous job for us, taking care of the public, the healthcare of our inmates. We also have a food vendor, Aramark, to make sure the inmates get fed three squares a day. We have another vendor called Spectrum, who's providing mental health services, and then, we have what you and I have talked about before, the medication-assisted treatment vendor, Acadia, who's keeping that program up with us. But really quickly, a couple things we're doing. We have stopped general visitation, so the general public cannot come into the facility. It is very unfortunate that we do not allow them to see, to visit with the inmates, but it is just an absolute necessity when you talk about social distancing and bringing the virus inside. To offset that, because we really truly do recognize the importance of having loved ones and family members, meet, see the inmate on a routine basis, we've tried to compensate that by allowing our inmates, number one, more access to telephones, and number two, we are giving the inmates 2 free 30-minute phone calls each week so they can make those extra calls free of charge just to stay in touch. We're since, now well over a month, I can probably go back like 6 weeks now, we're in a very robust cleaning protocols here at the jail. we're in touch with our epidemiologist, our infectious disease control experts, and how to clean the facility. We have clean crews going round the clock, all public areas, all surfaces. We understand this virus is spread through droplets. So anywhere droplets, when you speak, obviously, droplets come out of your mouth and then they hit surfaces like countertops, desks, common areas, doorknobs, handrails. This stuff's all getting, scrubbed down, several times a day, like I said, 24/7. Attorneys still have right of access to come in and talk to their clients, but we're doing those what we call a non-contact visit. So there is there is plexiglass between them and their inmates, so they can't, expose either side, one or the other. We have a very robust education program going through the jail, both for our staff and the inmates, on good personal hygiene, washing hands, as recommended by the CDC and DPH, 20 minutes. We make sure we have extra hand sanitizing stations throughout the facility. We've given the inmates extra bars of soap so they can obviously wash as much as they can. In terms of personal protective equipment, which, pick up any newspaper today, I know the healthcare, the hospitals and the healthcare workers are having trouble getting this. We are too, and we need it. So that's where I go back to some of the preventive aspects we started back in February. We ordered a lot of this stuff that we could. Now, I'm not overwhelmed with it by any means, but we have issued the N95 masks to our staff. Our healthcare provider has it for their own staff anyway. They provide their own equipment to their staff, so they have this. But we have the N95s issued to our offices, particularly when they're guarding an inmate who may be suspected with this or any other infectious disease or any other germ-producing environment where they can wear that. If they're in close proximity within 6 feet of that individual. We have, starting last Saturday, and I believe we were the first sheriff's department in the Commonwealth to do it, we've issued all our staff a mandated order that they will wear a surgical mask. And that's from me all the way down to the junior officer. We wear those anytime we're on the property. If you look at it, what could happen here is the inmates are here, and they're pretty much secured. I mean, from the public, it's the staff we could have concerns who may bring this virus inside. So we're taking every precaution we can. So by giving staff members the masks, it does reduce the possibility of us bringing it in there. And we have screening procedures in place. So when the staff come to work every day, and when I say staff, it's also those vendors I mentioned, we're going through the routine questions. How do you feel? Do you have a cough? Do you have a respiratory illness? Do you have a fever? And then if they say yes, then we just take it to the next step, and if there's any particular concerns, we advise them not to come into the facilities and to contact their primary care physician. This is at all three of our main facilities here at Middleton, obviously a main campus, up at the pre-release center in Lawrence, and at the Women in Transition Center up in Salisbury. In terms of the courts, everybody knows a lot of the courts are closed, and they have been now. I think we might be entering week three or four. I think it might be four, actually. So we have a very intensive video conferencing system here that we work with all the district courts in the county. So we're doing arraignments here and any type of special hearings that are requested by the anyone involved with the court system, so we can have the inmate participate in those through video conferencing. And that's a short version of, like I said, a very long. There's a lot of other programs here. I mean, other issues here that we have, trying to adjust. One thing I would like to note, though, that I mean, we have stopped volunteers coming in, and some of the other providers that aren't that essential. But those, like, for instance, those ones help us with prevention education for, like, anti-violence programs, as well as our partners from Northern Essex Community College, who teach the inmate different subjects on an educational role. Even though they're not on site, those vendors do provide us with individual learning packets that we give to the inmates so they can work on their education on their own time, and just moving stuff back and forth, almost like a lot of the schools are doing here. We don't do it by video, because obviously videos are not in the cells, but we have the work packets that are based on educational curriculum. So we give those to the inmates, and they work on those, and they can share those back and forth eventually with the instructors from the college.
Kevin, man, you've given us a lot of information. I'll just follow up with a couple of quick follow-ups, and that would be, I would imagine, what's the procedure for a new inmate coming in?
That is a great question. I'm glad you said that, because I almost forgot that one. It's one of the most important things we're doing. We have created what we call a new man unit. Now, the medical experts in the fields tell us that, well, you see it or hear it all the time. If somebody is suspected or not feeling well, they tell them to self-quarantine for 14 days, because that's the period we're being told that if you do have coronavirus, then those symptoms will present themselves. So anybody new coming into the jail or anybody returning to the jail, a quick example is if we have to take an inmate to a hospital for a routine or you know, God forbid, an emergency or some kind of health care issue, if they come back, they go into the new man unit where they are isolated in a separate housing unit, and they remain there for 14 days under the observation of medical staff. So if they become symptomatic and they show any of those classic signs I mentioned before, the fever, the cough, the respiratory illness, then the medical staff will do their routine and then work with them, and hopefully they don't have it. And once they get by the 14-day quarantine, then they will be, if there's no symptoms, they will be moved into general population and out to another area. So in effect, we've created our own 14-day quarantine for anybody new as an extra precaution, so we're not bringing the disease into the institutions.
You know, last point would be is that there's all, you know, I'm watching all the stuff that you're watching, and you're way ahead of it than I am, I think. But it's interesting that you mentioned the staff wearing masks, and that's absolutely right, because it's the people that might have it are the ones that should be wearing the masks. And you're right, those would be the guys that or the women that would be bringing it in potentially. So that just makes a lot of sense, and I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, and again, we're correctional experts. We're not medical experts. So we're tapping every resource we can find.
Well, you're becoming medical experts, I think.
Believe me, you asked me 6 weeks ago if I knew all the stuff I know today. I would have thought you were crazy. But I do want to make one important point, though, on the issue of the masks, too. If an inmate asks for a mask, we will provide them with them upon request. Right now, I don't have enough to go all around, but we do have a lot of orders that have been placed, and stock is coming in every day. And very shortly, I do anticipate I will be able to give each of the inmates a mask, and then that will be another mandatory wear situation for them too, because you know we don't want this virus inside, and if it does get inside, we need to control it as best possible. So right now, as we just discussed, Bill, you know, we're limiting the sources of bringing it in, i.e., our staff. But if it gets in, we don't want the inmates spreading it either. So we will. If an inmate asks today for a mask, we will certainly give it to them. And as soon as I get enough stock in here, we will provide each inmate with a mask and make it mandatory wear, too. Just another level of caution.
And my last thing, Sheriff, would be I really applaud you on the extra phone calls, because I was thinking about that. The fact that you're an inmate and then you can't have visitors, and you got to do something to compensate, and that sounds like just the right thing to do.
Yeah, and I'll tell you just another thing that we learned, and actually I learned this in my old career when I was a police officer. If you communicate with people any changes that you're going to make, and you're upfront with them and you explain the reasons to them why you're doing it, you know, you get compliance. So we have gone really above and beyond. So when we first put these changes in, like when we stopped the visitation, I asked the superintendents to go out and meet with the different housing units, with the inmates in the different housing units, and just explain to them why we're doing this. And it was really for their own personal health care, welfare. And the inmates, the response was very positive. They understood. When we showed up with the masks wearing them last Saturday, we actually got, I won't say applause, but we got accolades from the inmates saying, thank you. Hey, you know, you're worried about our health. But the other day, Monday, I think it was Monday this week, yeah, we did a little quick video that I just kind of went on for the inmates. It's being shown in all the housing units, just, again, thanking them for helping us out. Explaining what we're doing, some of the procedures. We have it in English and Spanish, and then we have a couple of videos that are playing in there too that we got from the Department of Public Health on good personal hygiene. And you know, we have a little small package that we're going to be distributing on Saturday through our partner at Aramark. It's not much. It's just a little extra thing for the inmates, where it's some extra writing paper and a stamped envelope. So on us. just another little avenue for the inmates so they can, you know, they can write a letter home or to their loved one if they want. But I got to say for the inmates, they're well-educated. We're keeping them up to speed. They understand it. It does get frustrating because we do have to restrict some of their daily routines, like social distancing. We got to make sure they stay 6 feet apart, like you and your shop and everybody outside the jails. But as long as we explain it to them and they ask questions, we give them honest answers. So far, it's been pretty good. I have to applaud the inmates for their cooperation.
Well, good luck, and for all that you guys, your staff is doing there, a very difficult job. Again, just getting more difficult by the day, I guess. But, Sheriff, always good talking with you, and best of luck.
Thank you, Bill, and same to you. Good health.
Yep, you too. Stay safe. Sheriff Kevin Coppinger with us from the Essex County Sheriff's Office.